Tonight we are going to think about responding to criticism. How do you respond to criticism? How do you answer someone who speaks negatively to you or about you? That is what we'll talk about a little bit tonight. But more generally, thinking about communication, wise communication, we do use words in so many ways. In our relationships, at work, during sports, in the grocery store, at the mall, and certainly with the technology that we have, we're using words a lot. Our problem is that sometimes the things that we say, we do that in the wrong way, at the wrong time, and with the wrong heart attitude. And so the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about what comes out of our mouths, how we speak. And actually, Proverbs 15 has a lot to say about the tongue. And we're going to look together tonight at three verses in Proverbs 15. And they all have the word answer in them, at least in my Bible. It may have the word reply in yours, in your version. But tonight we'll look at these verses to see what they have to say about how we answer people. And more generally, thinking about how we communicate. How do we speak to people? How do we use our words? And not only in person verbally, but also in our text messages, emails, online communication, social media. Just by way of, I heard somebody talking about this summer. You may be familiar with this or not, but it's a little bit of psychology, and we're not dwelling on this, but interesting to think of the elements of personal communication with this pie graph, that when we communicate and somebody's hearing us, 7% is the spoken words, 38% is the voice and tone, the message that we're communicating coming across, 38% is our voice or the tone, and then 55% body language. Now you can think, you know, I don't suggest, you know, our younger folk, teenagers, people we'd call millennials or Gen Z or Gen Z, they sometimes break up over text message. That's probably not the best way to do things. But, you know, in our communication, we need to be wise, because maybe the way that we text something or send an email, if you steal email, that, you know, the interpretation can be different than if it's actually said in person. Even on the phone could be better than an email as well. So anyway, I just thought I'd show you this, that it's interesting just to think, because, you know, even as we speak to our loved ones in life, I mean, if I'm out in the garage and say, you know, I love you, to my wife, but, you know, I'm not facing her, I'm not using a tone that really says, you know, I'm meaning what I say, this kind of thing just gets us to think, you know, it's not just what comes out of our mouth, but it's also how we say it, and our body language can speak as well. So, it's important to remember, though, as we think about these proverbs, that they are proverbs, not promises. And so what I mean by that is that these are general rules for living. They're helpful things. And we're talking about wisdom, which is being practical. Yes, we can have knowledge, but wisdom is then applying that knowledge. And so these aren't like promises, though. They're generally true, yes, but they're not universally true. They're general instructions with the goal of us growing in godliness and wisdom. And so we recognize that the Bible has a lot to say about our lives, even here in our current day, even though it was written so long ago. It is relevant to us. And we want to take this in. Andrew Sarlo shared this verse from Psalm 145 that, you know, this generation, you know, we know things, but we need to pass this on to the next generation. So this, the truth and wisdom found in the book of Proverbs is for us, and we have a lot of decisions constantly to make. So let's start with our first verse, which, if you're in Proverbs 15, which I encourage you to be there, is the first verse. We're going to think about the right way to answer. And this is verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So again, we're thinking of generally how we communicate, but also how we respond, how we answer. Now, this verse is not talking about being a soft person or a weak person. Your verse may say the word gentle, but we're not talking about being apologetic in what we say. But the way that we answer someone should be done so as to minimize sparking up anger. Again, your Bible might use the word gentle, that we are to respond in a gentle way. And this is not easy for us, right? This is something that we can struggle with, maybe some of us more than others. But again, this proverb is not always true that if you just respond with gentleness, that there won't be wrath or anger. But it probably will go a long way to help the situation. So talking with gentleness to a 2-year-old may not just stop their tantrum. You could get mixed results from doing that. But if we lead with gentleness in our communication with other people, then it does have the ability to diffuse the situation. This is God's wisdom for us. And then the opposite is true, that a harsh word will likely stir up anger, unless you're talking to a passive person. But a harsh word then also has the ability to stir up anger. Things can get blown up out of proportion. Feelings get hurt. Communication can cut off for a lengthy period of time. So as an example, I spent a week at junior high boys this summer, and inevitably there is confrontation. They're finding out who the toughest is in the cabin, and whether it's bullying or put-downs or words spoken in sarcasm that can hurt, then a harsh word is going to trigger some anger, which then can lead to not only words, but some physical things happening. So a gentle response, though, can go a long way in diffusing anger rather than causing a temper to flare up out of control. So the application is that when we are criticized, we do get criticized for things, how do we respond? So I already mentioned that perhaps it's better to do this in person than just to write a lengthy communication, whether by email or text message. Think about Twitter. I don't know if any of you are on Twitter. I'm not myself, but this is always in the news that Twitter feeds are filled up with tweets that are just explosive outbursts of communication that stir up anger. Now, when we're on the receiving end of snarky customer service, how do we respond? When someone starts a rumor about you, how would you respond to them? You know, we're not perfect yet, none of us. I'm not perfect, and I could guess that you're not either. But a gentle answer will turn away wrath. This is how we are to communicate as Christians. And you know, we need to pray for wisdom. This is what the book of Proverbs is all about, that we need wisdom in living our lives. And as Christians, if we're going to be examples of godliness and wisdom, we respond with gentleness, and we can be growing in that. If you're sharing your faith with somebody, if you're speaking to somebody about Christianity, and they're a little bit antagonistic against that, how do you respond? They might have a question or say a response, well, you know, nobody believes this anymore. More and more in the mainstream, Christianity is not affirmed. And so what do we do? The Bible has things to say about this. 1 Peter 3:15-16. We were looking at this at our youth group on Friday night, just thinking about giving a defense for our faith, giving a reasonable answer to why we believe what we believe. But listen to this. In your hearts, this is 1 Peter 3:15, I'll read it. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense or give an answer to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. We're not to be arrogant about this. Having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. It's not that we shame people, but this may be the result as they see our good behavior in Christ, that even if we're insulted, that we respond with gentleness and respect. This is not easy to do, but this is what God is calling us to do. Another one, 2 Timothy 2 says, "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth." We may win the argument or the debate with somebody, but they're still lost from the gospel because of the way that we speak. So let's think about the way that we answer or respond to someone. We need to be growing in wisdom to respond with gentleness. So this is thinking about our communication. The right way is with gentleness. Second verse, down to verse 23. It has this word answer in it, and so we're thinking about the right time. To make an apt answer, or you can think of the word appropriate answer or a suitable answer, to make a suitable answer is a joy to a man or a woman, and a word in season, how good it is. So there's a right time to communicate or to give an answer. An appropriate, timely word. And this brings joy. Now, at first I thought, reading this particular version, that to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, that I think of the person receiving, you know, I'm going to give a nice answer to them, and so they're going to be happy with my answer. But upon reading some other translations, English translations, listen to these ones, you may have these ones, a person finds joy in giving an apt reply. Or you may have, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. And both are true, that not only the person receiving it, if it's an encouraging word, a timely word, certainly they're going to have some joy with that, but joy is brought to ourselves as we encourage somebody. Isn't that true? That we're blessed as we, you know, think we're going to be a blessing in somebody else's life. So joy can be brought both to the one who gives the response and the one receiving the answer. Isn't it easy to give a word of critique? I think that comes more naturally to us. And whether it's our sinful bent, but also we're just surrounded by this. It's easier to give a negative opinion than it is to perhaps say something encouraging. Perhaps some people would take joy in that, the negativity. But without knowing it, they will not experience the joy that we personally can have as we give an appropriate answer. And then the second part of the verse says, and a word in season, how good it is. And so the challenge is that, yes, we can experience joy as we give encouraging words to people. So I was thinking about teenagers, think about them quite a bit, but often we can think of them as, you know, they're a problem or they have problems rather than seeing the potential. And if we were their age, I was reading a book recently, if we were their age, we would be as much on our phones as they are. And so we can give a timely word to them. And so what I'm saying with this is, you know, again, it's easy to see the problems, like you're on your phone too much, or, you know, you don't get your schoolwork done, or, you know, you just seem like you're sitting in the corner, or whatever it is. But instead, let's be encouraged that if we give an encouraging word to them, it's going to bring joy to us, and we can be that voice in their life, that it could just be something that would encourage them in their faith. And so it would just encourage us with that, that whatever it is, whoever it is. We all like to receive encouraging words, and we're blessed as we do that. Paul, writing in his letter to the Ephesians, in a part of the, it's in chapter 4, he's describing our new life in Jesus, and he says this: let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And so we need to be just mindful of when we say things, the right way that we, the way that we say things, and that they can be an encouraging word to them. So the application, how can we put this into practice in our lives this week? Think of somebody that you can encourage this week. Let's take the time to speak a good word, and to do that at the appropriate time and in an appropriate way. And you will not only bless that person, but you yourself will be blessed as well. It will bring you joy. So this verse, to make an appropriate answer, is a joy to us. A word in season, how good it is. The final verse is verse 28. And thinking about the right heart to answer. Verse 28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Now, we want to be growing in wisdom and godliness, and here it references the word righteous. Now, a lot of words flying around are going out with little thought to what is being said. Again, blog posts, tweets, text messages, emails, all this stuff on social media. The New King James Version says this: the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. This version says ponders. So there's thought taken into how we answer. Now, just coming back to that word righteous, the truth is that we need heart change if we are going to respond in this way. It is not going to come naturally from a heart that, does not know God. So when we read this, the heart of the righteous, we recognize from the pages of the Bible that none of us are righteous. The Bible says there is no one righteous, no, not one. All have sinned. We've all fallen short of God's righteous standard. But the good news of the gospel is that he didn't leave us in our miserable condition, in our wickedness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him, that is Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So being right with God comes through faith, and it's Jesus' righteousness that is put into our account, because all that we have had to offer is our own sinfulness. So we need to trust in Jesus, who sacrificed himself on the cross in our place. Our sin deserves punishment, and the punishment for sin is death. But Jesus has given us the gift of himself, his righteousness, and eternal life that is both now and in eternity. That's the state that we can live in and having a heart of righteousness. So in this verse, it is the righteous that shows self-control. So think about pondering or studying. That's going to take some time. So it's unlike the wicked who is just pouring out evil things. And then also there's a concern for the effect of that response, of that answer. So how will these words affect the person that's on the receiving end? Whereas the wicked could care less about what is said. I'm just going to say it. I don't really care how it's going to be received. Now think about Jesus, who is the perfect example of responding gently. And we could use lots of different accounts of how he did that. But I wanted to talk about one that I think we would think about when we think of the words that come out of our mouths, and about having a heart that is transformed. And really, I'll be reading this verse, that out of the overflow of our hearts, that's how our mouths speak. So the context for this is Matthew 12. I'll read this for you. Jesus was being accused of healing a demon-possessed man by Beelzebub. So Jesus is here being accused that he only got rid of this demon out of this man by using Satan's power. And so this was the Pharisees talking, yes, these religious leaders. And Jesus says that they're guilty of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And so this is serious, what they're saying. And so this really gives us pause to think about our words as we say. But I just wanted to read verses 33 to 37 say this. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers. So again, speaking to the Pharisees, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. What this is saying is that it's not that we have goodness in ourselves. This comes from God, again, that God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness. So we need that heart change. And so then what flows out of our mouths is good. Then the responses of our heart. And again, I want to say that God is working on all of us. I trust that you're not thinking about somebody else right now and how they speak. You need to be thinking about yourself right now. I am thinking about myself. And sometimes I can be a man of few words and I can think, well, this doesn't apply for me. Every careless word, well, I don't say too much sometimes. But again, thinking about personal communication, that it can be our tone, it can be our body language, and yes, certainly what comes out of our mouths. But it starts with that heart transformation that we all need. And then out of that, we have a right heart to answer. So the condition of the Pharisees' hearts resulted in what came out of their mouths. So are our hearts in the right place? Do we have the right heart attitude? So when we're wanting to comment or reply to an online post, when we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anybody here on Snapchat? Maybe you don't know what that is. That's okay. Think before we post. So an application for this, having a right heart, is before you hit send, think about what you're saying and you're trying to communicate. Maybe you should have somebody else read that. I know I do that sometimes. Have somebody else read what I'm going to send so that it doesn't come across in a way that it is not intended. And then I would say, pick up the phone, rather. Voice communication, better than an email. And then even in person, meet up for coffee and talk to somebody. Communication does matter. The way we respond matters. The way that we say it, when we speak it, the right time, our heart attitude as we respond. So may the teaching of God's word and his grace in our lives motivate us and empower us to speak the truth in love, to respond graciously, and to be wise in our communication. Now, I recognize that there's a lot more that can be said about communication. Sometimes we need to speak up and say something, but we want to be wise in the way that we do that. But here tonight, thinking about how we respond to somebody, thinking, let's do it in the right way with gentleness. Let's do it at the right time. Be appropriate in our answers. And that will bring us joy. And then this last point of the right heart. Let's continue to grow in our relationship with the Lord. We have right hearts when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. And then he continues to work in us. And he's faithful to complete that work. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we have the freedom to come to a place like this, to a church building, and we don't fear anybody coming through the door in any way. And so we're thankful for that, Father. Thank you for each person that's here. Thank you for each family that's represented. And Father, in a room this size, I know that there are difficult things happening in our lives related to communication. Somebody said a negative word to us or a criticism, and we're finding it difficult about how to respond. And Father, too, maybe we're the ones who've said a critical word, and it wasn't done in a nice way, and so perhaps we need to ask for forgiveness. And so I pray that what we've looked at tonight, Father, wouldn't just be something that we leave here in this room, but that you would continue to change us by the power of your word, by the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Father, we're so thankful for your grace, that if we were left to ourselves, we would be lost without you. And so thank you that Jesus did come, that he lived a perfect life, a life that we never could live, and he died the death that we deserved. So thank you that you give us new life, and that we can wisely and in a godly way communicate to those around us. And I pray that you would build up Bethel here. I pray that this this fellowship that we have with each other would be encouraging and sweet. And we just thank you for the truth that you are building your church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.